Okay, so we are back. And Leah, guess what?
What?
It is almost Valentine's Day.
Oh, I hear that if the local bowling alley has a 2 for $10 special where you can go bowling on Valentine's Day and you get like half price apps.
Like appetizers or like apps on a phone apps?
Because they have the word apps on their sign. It could be either.
All right. Well, okay. So Valentine's Day, hypothetically, is all about love. Okay. Which
it's also
okay.
On Taco Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday. Now that is fun. Okay.
That says love.
That's true love right there. But lesser known is February 13th, which up till recently, I guess, has been claimed by Galentine's Day. But a lot of people don't know this. It is the anniversary of the execution of one Miss Catherine Howard, the fifth wife of Henry VIII, who beheaded her the day before Valentine's Day, which got me thinking. Breakups. All right, so...
Yes, my brain immediately went from beheading to breakups.
Well, okay.
They're the same thing.
That is how that relationship ended, okay? That is a breakup, okay? That is a breakup of a marriage, but it's probably, arguably, the worst breakup that we know of. So I was thinking about this. What would you say about, just in general, first breakups? The recommendations for somebody who is going through a first ever breakup. And to bring more to the table. Because as it turns out, you and I, Leah, we are pretty solid on the, totally enlightened chick perspective. But I figured we would probably need somebody to represent the male side of the story. Which is why we brought in special guests. Friend of the show.
Bennett Trout.
And you've been on the show before. You've covered It's Pat and Banjo-Kazooie with me.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. And first time ever.
Dustin Cray.
Hey, Dustin Cray. Got like a lion voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I see what you did there.
Yeah. Now, I've worked with you. You played Aslan in a...
Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah. Kick-ass production of that,
fun,
I might say.
Fun.
That but I directed, I might add.
I was about
and
to
had
say.
To put up with both your butts.
Leah Johnson, director.
Uh-huh. And you two know each other off the stage. Leah and Dustin, not Dustin and Bennett. Leah and Dustin know each other off the stage.
Yes, Leah and I do know each other off the stage. We started out friends before The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and then after I got the part, I asked her to be my girlfriend.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
He said, as popular as you're getting, I don't want anyone else having the chance to snatch you up. You did so say that. You said
I did
that.
Not say that.
You said that.
No.
You
I did. I don't.
Okay.
Okay, I think I did.
You did.
No, okay, no.
It was very sweet. I remembered it.
All right, but just to clarify, before this relationship, there were other relationships. You have gone through a breakup. Leah,
yes.
You've gone through a breakup. Dustin's been through a breakup. Bennett, you've been through a breakup. God knows I have. So I thought, let's talk about it.
Breakup?
Yeah.
Only one?
Well, okay. A lot of the people that do listen to our show... that aren't my dad, happened to be...
Hi, Aubrey's dad.
Hi, Dad! This is part of the show where we give a special shout-out to my dad, because he's our number one listener.
Hey, Professor Zilla.
Oh, yeah, so we have a younger audience, and I was thinking about what are great coping mechanisms for a first breakup. And to clarify, we're talking about breakups, not necessarily a heartbreak, okay? Because we're a comedy podcast first and foremost.
Yeah, we're trying to find the levity... The lightness, the positive things that we did to get through the horrific, heart-rending, soul-ripping-out pain.
And on that note...
This is going to be difficult.
So, all right.
Does IKEA do a guillotine?
Does IKEA... They should. Is
it a guillotine?
You're sitting on a gold mine.
You have to put it together yourself.
So, I guess who wants to go first?
Hmm.
I guess here's the four major questions. Okay, so, like, what age you were? Who was who as far as, like, were you the person that ended the relationship? Or were you the person that found out the relationship had ended sometime previous? And what would you say you learned from that relationship?
Okay, I can go first since I'm usually on this thing. Technically, my first real breakup... The real one, like the heartbreaking one. There's another one, but it was so brief it didn't matter. The real one.
Yeah, I remember that, dude.
after pretty much 5 years. I'm not going to say how old I was, because
fair enough.
Doesn't really matter. But what was the other question?
Who was who in the ending of the relationship?
He ended it.
Yeah.
He took me on a breakup date.
What is a breakup date?
Well,
breakup
it's when you date. Haven't been on a date, the two of you, in a very long time. But then you get real excited because he's like, would you like to go out and see a movie and get ice cream? And you go, yay, I'm so excited. And you get all dressed up nice because you're like, we're going to go on a date and I'm going to look nice for this. And then you find out that he's acting all weird because he won't look you in the eye and he won't turn to face you. And then you kind of get through it and start noticing things are weird. And then the conversation comes up of maybe we should take a break. And in their words of take a break, they literally meant break up. I thought the term take a break meant take a moment, take a little bit to reassess this.
Uh-huh.
No. And then it became further knowledge that that is not what we meant, what was meant here. And we went to see that Bourne movie that had the newest one.
Henry Cavill?
No. Bourne Identity, Bourne Ultimatum, those movies. That's
Mission
made.
Impossible, my bad.
Like that fourth one that was made, whenever that was. I don't.
Ultimately.
I assumed you were talking about like some kind of like religious movie, like Bourne, like Jesus
no,
Bourne.
No, as in like Jason Bourne, stab you in the hand with a pencil, Jason Bourne.
Okay, hang on, wait, real quick.
I remember nothing of that movie.
We're going to come right
and
back
we'll never
to this.
Watch it again.
Fair enough. Is it because of this situation?
Just
not your cup of tea.
No, I love the Bourne movies, but not that one.
You're like, we broke up and it was a terrible movie. Waste of time all around. Whenever you first started, you said the breakup date. Since you can't see this because it's a audio podcast, both the men here look surprised. But what surprised
me
is
makes me feel a little bit better.
That's such a dick thing to do.
I've been on a breakup date before. I went on a date with a guy.
I highly don't recommend them.
No. We went out to dinner with my friends who we'd met for the first time, and then we went on a romantic moonlit walk where we got within like 3 minutes, and he broke up with me, and then. We were like night and it was near the woods, so now there's spiders and this ex-boyfriend who's also my ride. I've been on that date. Anyway, go on.
It feels like you're Fredo in Godfather Part 2. Like, we're going on this romantic, this awesome boat ride to go fishing. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're gonna kill me.
Yeah. Here's the thing. The breakup walk, not even the most awkward breakup. But moving on.
Yep. Stories to come. Okay.
So that is the I could keep going, but it would then start taking a darker mm-hmm. turn, and I don't want to take it in that direction.
All right.
The ice cream was the best part about it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It was the most expensive ice cream. It was marble slab. Boy, we're gonna go all out for this breakup date, ain't we?
Well, Well, there you go, gents. If you're looking to end it with your lady, you should at least have ice cream.
I was, like, crying and ordering my ice cream. I shouldn't have even bothered. I don't even know why I did.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. He broke up with you and
yeah,
then
we
took
did it,
you
then
to
got
ice
the
cream?
Ice cream, then went to the movie.
Because oh,
I guess somehow in the process of that, I somehow kept hoping this wasn't real.
Oh, wow.
And so I kept going through the motions. But then, like, afterwards, and that's why I didn't remember the movie, because I was, like, crying the whole time, but my brain was not working.
And then you went to the movie?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did. I have no idea why I did. Because I genuinely,
I think it was just, like, you were
in
shock. I don't think you were.
I wasn't thinking straight.
It was not like it was real.
Uh-uh. And then in the parking lot, and I can still nail the spot we stood.
Very important question. Very important question.
We officially ended, or he, anyway.
I know you don't want to specify your age, because that'll, like, give away who it is. But were you a licensed driver at this
Very
point?
Very much.
Okay.
I had my car, and the minute I went home, I can tell you I did this. I went home.
Yeah, I know
I was
who this
both
was.
Sad, but also in situations like that, I'm also angry. Very, very, very angry.
Yeah, exactly.
And I took my keys. I had them on a lanyard,
uh-huh.
And I was near a tree, and I went, pow! And I swung it at the tree because I was mad and I had to hit something because it made me just feel better. And so I swung it as hard as I could at the tree and I broke the lanyard and my keys went flying.
Well, that's
I had to find them in the dark.
That is a segue into the next topic, which is, and we're going to go through all of this, but like the coping mechanism. So you went...
Because that was my initial coping
You went to violence.
Mechanism.
Like you went like, let's fuck shit up.
I was mad.
Okay.
Yes. I am Irish and Scottish, and I have all the right bloodlines that should have anger as a part of them.
Mm.
Bennett?
You didn't go straight to drinking with that bloodline?
I didn't act... Well, the... No. Actually, interestingly enough, My coping mechanism has never been
drinking. ABC store was closed at that time.
That's also true. It was after 11 o'clock at night.
It's at nighttime. Next
morning. I don't think
morning.
I had anything at the house.
You went straight to destruction. That sounds like a Philadelphia Eagles fan.
Oh.
Okay. Okay, so you went to violence, obviously.
That
attacking
was
attacking
the
tree.
Initial, yeah. It was a relatively small tree, and it was one of those ones where the bark peels off, so it at least kind of made a nice spectacular. It felt better.
Okay.
For that little
That's
moment.
Right. Yeah, like a big noise, big explosion. Yeah. That's fun. So, okay, have your coping mechanisms really moved beyond that or flourished in, like, a deeper vein of that?
Since then?
I don't know. Like, have you ever, I don't know, hypothetically taken your ex's shirts that he left and, I don't know, burned them and then stole his cat?
His cat was significantly better off, trust me.
But I love that story.
I did burn his shit, because he left it here. He left some of his stuff here. And
I remember when you told me that. I
was
like, don't
fuck
with Leo.
Stuff here and his dirty socks under my bed. And so, yeah, I took it and I burned it in the little grill that I had. And I kind of ruined the grill because it was so much synthetic material. It sealed it shut. I was not thinking straight.
Put it in a 5-gallon bucket.
That was an alcohol-related thing. I had had a lot of pink wine.
Oh, damn.
Okay, hey.
Pink wine.
No judgment after pink wine, okay? It's your best friend until it's not.
It was great.
Okay.
I think it
was it the box wine? Yeah, yeah.
No, it was a
big bottle,
I think, maybe of Barefoot. I don't even think it was that expensive.
All right. Pink wine. Very cheap. Pink wine is your ride or die friend until it's not. You guys don't know this. Bennett doesn't know this.
And then drunkenly walked to Waffle House.
Okay. So, Leah, what would you say?
Yep.
The relationship ending, and as a whole, taught you what's the big lesson you learned?
Of that particular one?
Yeah.
Your
first big breakup.
What did I learn from that?
What did you learn in the moment, I guess, is my question. And then going to, what do you take away from that now? As a sophisticated lady that burns her ex's shit in a grill and steals their cat.
Hey, now. I had help.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't you. It was another friend.
I'd have been there, dude.
No.
I'd have saved that grill.
Okay, so on to... I guess from what I learned at the time, I will say I genuinely learned nothing. I immediately went into rebound mode. Immediately.
Okay.
Because it was, I was trying to fill the void. I was trying to cut bandage over and not feel the feels.
Okay.
Also, to be perfectly honest, I was literally 2 days later, started a brand new job in which I had to teach children how to act, and I had to pretend that I was fine. And so I don't think that helped. But actually, I guess what I learned from that is what my coping mechanisms are not to... Yeah, okay, here's what I learned, truly. My coping mechanisms for something like that are not to wallow, are not to be the typical, you know, go lie in the bubble bath and eat Ben and Jerry's, or get severely drunk.
You had your fill of ice cream already.
You're not wrong.
That's brilliant.
It was to throw myself into things. So when I was with that breakup, I immediately started throwing myself into putting one of the first plays that I ever directed, putting that together. I painted every rock on that set, everyone, by myself. It kept my brain occupied, that's for sure. And then I started working out. Not necessarily good, but I did.
All right.
Just kept myself busy.
Because we're going to come back to you. All right, so who's in the hot seat next? Who wants to go next?
Sure, I'll go.
Okay, make sure you got a loud enough voice, Bennett. All right, so...
So, my first breakup was when I was 30. And it was a doozy because it was not just a breakup, it was actually a divorce. I was married. And... Oof. You know, she and I were married, and it was a mutual end of the marriage. Obviously, I don't want to get into the details because I don't want to tell my side without her being here.
Fair enough.
But it was my first relationship, and so that was first person I ever dated. So you know, if you're gonna go big, go home, I guess, or the other way around. So what I found out through this whole thing is that the way I coped was I just decided, you know what, I'm tired of being sad. I'm just gonna go to law school.
Okay. All right, hang on. Okay, so
I'm tired of being sad. I'm just gonna go to law school. That will make me happier.
Kind of the same thing you did. Throw yourself into a project. It was something that I wanted to do, at the time and have been thinking about for a while.
Question. So this is interesting. This is something that exactly I wanted the male perspective. You and I have had this conversation recently, in which I was dating somebody and then he and I had a fight. Okay. And we also had plans for later that evening. And when I showed up at his dorm or cottage, whatever, when he answered the door, his head was shaved. And I said, "You shaved your head." And his response was, "Yeah, you and I were in a fight." Why was that an option? Why is that like a dude thing where it's like there's like a unhappiness in the relationship, so you gotta do something real big. Shave my head. Go to law school. It's one or the other.
Well, personally, I shaved my back.
I thought women like changed their hairstyles.
I thought you were about to say, I thought women shaved their backs.
We do.
Oh, no,
discreetly.
Right? That's totally. That's normal. All right. Well,
so
okay.
Anyway, coping mechanisms is where I think we were at.
Go. I'm sorry.
What I found out was during breakups, because since then I actually did go out with one other person and we did break up, but obviously we're focused on the first one. What I found out that my best coping mechanism is immediately get around your friends. Because most of the time your friends are going to do like two things for you. One, they're going to be real with you if they're your real friends, and they're going to help you kind of figure out what went wrong, how to do things better, how to better yourself through this. And you have the second group of friends that's like, who do we need to burn alive? Like, where's the car we need to key?
I got a grill we can burn their shit in.
Precisely. Like, they'll be there for you.
You need a beer, my friend.
And sometimes they just get your mind out of that horrible mental gutter that you're in whenever you get... I have to go through that broken up thing, and it's really terrible. But they're the ones that'll lift you back up and kind of get you moving again. So what that taught me... one was the value of friendship, and two was the value of therapy. Because, funny story, to get into law school, you have to take a test called the LSAT, which is basically like, can you study for copious amounts of time to sit through something wholly arbitrary that will show you have enough tenacity to make it through law school? LSAT doesn't have anything to do with law school. That's just, can you study enough to pass a test? That's all they care about. So I started studying for that about 4 weeks after I went through this breakup slash divorce. Not exactly the best thing for your mental health. So one night, and we're going to go kind of dark so that we can get to the funny part of this story.
Okay, but you know where the boundaries are.
So there was one night where, and I'm just being open and honest, that I was at home at my apartment by myself after this studying for the LSAT, and I really had a dark thought about hurting myself. And what do you do when you have those horrible thoughts? You call your mom. And so I called my mother and was like, hey, can you come over here? So, like, I have someone to talk to, and I love my mother to death. But she's a fixer, and most of the time she's like, I'll talk you through it. I'll help you through it. She could just tell in the tone of my voice, because all she said was, I'll be there in 7 minutes. Click. And she hung up the phone. So I got there, and I had been to my initial appointment to my therapist, and I'm literally, if you can imagine, people that are listening, that there's a couch, then there's a seat, like a chair. I am in the little nook in between the alcove of my couch and my chair, and I'm just curled up in a ball, and then I'm just like kind of rocking back and forth and having a really bad mental panic attack breakdown sort of thing. And my mother just picks up this packet and she looks at me, and with no sarcasm or anything, just goes, so do you want to fill out this state of your mental well-being survey you have to do for therapy right now?
I've met your mom. I can picture her doing that.
And the funny thing is, I probably gave more honest answers on that thing than I ever would have in any other circumstance.
Wow.
Because question number four was like, how do you feel your emotional and mental stability is right now on a scale of 1 to 10?
What's lower than none?
I told her literally right -2. So I went from this horrible state to literally every question that got to like, are you okay? To just laughing my head off. And it was a really surreal moment. But I ended up going through it, and I went to therapy, and that really helped out. So if you're out there and you're listening to this, I know therapy gets stigmatized, especially for guys, but like, don't let it be a stigma, because it really can help. And it really is a good thing, especially if you have a really good therapist. But I would definitely go with your family and your friends and the people that are around you that know you the best, because they're the ones that are going to be able to kind of pull you out of that initial rut to get up and get moving again.
I'm going to actually piggyback off of what you just said, because for my first breakup, I didn't really handle it well. I just sort of spiraled and then threw myself into things, so I didn't think. It made me not have to think or really feel or anything like that. Second time around, though, I had to. I absolutely had to. I tried therapy. I didn't find a good therapist. He kept talking about how he accidentally kept killing cats. And I was like, I need to leave. This is not a good therapist.
Your therapist is telling you about how
he started getting a little too familiar with how he was telling me things. And I was just like, no, we're done. So I just was like, you know what? No. I'm not. He's not telling me anything I don't already know or know how to do. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go find something that allows me to put the transfer my pain into something that helps someone else. So I started actually volunteering. I started volunteering with rescue horses.
Okay.
So this was my second. So because this was my second breakup and the things that I learned as a result of the previous one, it let me do better on this next time around. So I started working with the rescue horses and that became my therapy. That plus going to the gym and being around friends, spending time with my family, not when the bad thoughts started coming, not being alone, but going and starting good conversations. That helped a lot. Yeah.
Biggest thing is you can't wallow in this sort of thing, because wallowing literally is just going to make it worse.
Mm-mm.
Like, take your time and feel it. Like, don't bury your feelings. Like, feel it. But at some point, you got to get past that. Like, you got to go to work. You got to see your friends. You got to take a shower. You know, change your clothes at some point. Stop
if
eating
anything,
just
it's
bologna and misery.
That's
like,
right.
Move out
bologna.
You
got to
feel the feelings, because, I mean, if if you don't let it all out, you'll have, you know, I mean, it's just not going to, if you share and just even if the people who don't, like, just getting it out, even if someone don't really, like, care, you know, just getting it out helps.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know.
I think, who among us hasn't accidentally unloaded on a CSR calling your cell phone in the middle of the day?
Just pick up your phone, call a random stranger, you know?
No. That is harassment.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
it's not like the old days.
It's not like the old days. You just call a stranger, start a whole Scream franchise. Anyway, all right, well, that moves us. Well, actually.
Do you like mental instability?
Because I kind of do. Okay. Well, okay. So that was your big takeaway. That's your big lesson. Okay. All right, Dustin. So, Dustin, that's a great segue.
Going to me. Okay, well.
Tell us everything. Darkest fears. Go.
Ooh,
no.
Yeah. Clowns that are standing over your bed when you wake up in the middle of the night. What? No.
Specific to clowns?
No.
Okay.
No, I guess my journey's kind of funny. So, I moved to Alabama from Wisconsin when I was almost 19. After maybe 6 months of being here, I did kind of meet somebody, and I kind of went on a few dates. I would have to say my first kind of real relationship.
My first thought was it Leah? I was like, no, you're talking about breakups, you idiot. Like, no. And that's how he broke up with her. Worst breakup ever.
Wait, broke
what?
Up.
What? Hold on.
That'd be hilarious. It's like, and the worst breakup ever is right now. We're done.
We're done.
Because of
this
your
is,
weird friends.
Hey, guys. All you guys that are listening, this is how you do it. No.
You didn't even get her ice cream, you...
No. There we're out.
No,
like
okay.
The car.
Oh.
Cheese and rice.
Cheese and rice.
Oh.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. That was okay.
Before I got into this, I would have to say my first long-term relationship when I moved here. I mean, I went on a few dates. It wasn't until I was about 23.
Okay.
At the time I was working Planet Fitness, so that was kind of the first job that I got when I first moved down here. It was my first long-term relationship. So she was 20. I was 23. Now, as far as breakup, who broke up with who, it was a lot of back and forth. The first time, it was her, but it was also me. But it was, what happened was, 10 months going into the relationship, she turns 21, and a couple days after she turns 21, I was working the night shift.
Uh-huh.
At Planet Fitness.
Right.
That was when we transitioned to the 24/7. she starts messaging me. I'm like,
I'm sorry. You said the gym was 24/7?
Yes.
Who the hell comes in there at like 3 a.m?
You'd be surprised.
Are they creepy or scary? Are they strangely
They do have a case of the Silly Willies. They are different people.
Wait a minute. What is a Silly Willy?
I think this is a family-friendly podcast.
That's my question. Is it like weird penises?
No. They just are different people that you would only run into at 2 o'clock in the morning back in the day when Walmart was open 24/7.
Oh,
which I miss.
Pre-pandemic,
those people out there, you know.
Those were times.
I miss that. Nobody, you know.
Walmart.com doesn't have any
Walmart
material.
If you're listening, go back to 24/7, please.
We miss you at 4 in the morning for cheesecake.
Yes, we do.
Bennett, did you just give the Hunger Games salute for After Hours Walmart?
No.
Okay, then.
And you can't prove it.
All right. Okay. So you're working. Okay, so you're working the night shift.
Working the night shift. I was kind of worried at this point because she's not so great with her alcohol, even though... Yeah.
Maybe she's a party girl.
Well, her friends, she didn't have the best of friends. They didn't have her best interest at heart. Mm-hmm. I'm already kind of worried, and she's messaging me saying, oh, it's all good. And then all of a sudden, I don't hear from her for a while. Oh. And I'm like, okay. And I get a phone call from her at 1 a.m, and she acted really standoffish. And I'm like, what the heck? What's going on?
Wait a second. She called you and then was standoffish?
And she was at a place on the beach that is a really popular place. It's on the border of Alabama and Florida, if anybody that is listening
okay,
will know what
that
is.
Okay, I did not know that place, but I do know what you're talking about now.
Right. So then...
They have a whole show about it.
Yeah.
It's trashy as hell, and I love it.
And she gives me a phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning, and she is kind of drunk for saying something happened. I made a mistake. Mm. I'm like, oh, here we go. But then she turns it around on me.
Oh.
And says, well, I think we just need to take a break. You're just not bettering yourself. You work at Planet Fitness. I need a guy to support me and take care of me. And I'm like, what? And I was 24. Like, I'm
also,
still kind of young.
Also, she's a girl, not a house cat. I don't know.
Barely turned 21.
Yeah.
She's
like,
to drink.
We just never saw eye to eye. She was never in the wrong. And this is my first long-term relationship. And she's saying, like, I need someone to support me. You know, like, you're just not bettering yourself. And totally just, like, she did something wrong, but she's putting it on me.
Yeah.
And that's if anybody that is listening, a lot is human nature. A lot. So not... out of everybody, but this happens. People like make a mistake and they like to put it on you that you were the problem.
Yeah.
Why you they've made the mistake.
Yeah. I think everybody in this circle can relate to that.
So I kind of was like, well, excuse me, you need someone to support. Like, I was raised by a single mom and like strong three independent women with my sisters. Like, I don't want to have to take care of a woman. I want a strong independent woman. Like, I want us to be a team. And then she finally broke down and said that she made out with another guy.
Okay, I thought that was going to be much worse.
Yeah, well, that's what she told me. But I still think about it to this day. She probably, I don't know who's all listening, rated R version or PG-13.
Okay.
But
she found herself a silly willy.
Yeah, a silly willy.
And now I understand that term. Okay, real quick, Leah, from the female perspective, because here's the thing. I was thinking about, listening to Dustin's story here, that would be very alarming if some guy was like, I can support you. Again, like a house cat, like, don't worry, I'll contribute and we'll be all financially dependent on my thing. That would be very alarming if a dude said that to me.
Yeah, same for me. I don't need that. If anything, I'm going to be as self-sufficient as I possibly can so that neither of us have to worry about each other.
You know, what if...
I like contributing, too.
What if, you know, you're in a relationship with somebody that wants to be, you know, the financial breadwinner.
I don't like to worry.
And then they go crazy. And don't say it doesn't happen, because it happens every day.
This is...
And it's happened to...
Very true.
An undisclosed number of people in this circle. So
yeah.
And apparently this guy, apparently he wasn't even from here. He was from, like, Pennsylvania, and he was a lawyer.
I'm from Pennsylvania,
and
he's a lawyer.
Oh! Boom! Well, and that's crazy. I did not know that.
I have really bad feelings.
wasn't a guy, it was the both of us.
No! Oh no.
I'm sorry.
Twilight Zone.
We Muppet Manned. Bennett was on my shoulders, and we had like a big trench coat.
Well, yeah, hey, let's how be it's... realistic.
It was you guys.
We were wearing a trench coat.
it was a tasteful, tasteful otter suit. It was great. Like a big, yeah, like a big onesie. Okay. Tasteful. Sorry about that, bro.
Well, then she came over to my house. We talked. She broke down, and I could tell she felt sorry. And at this time, I got a kind heart, and I didn't want to, like, break it off just yet. I gave her another shot.
Oh, she was your lesson. You just couldn't learn. I've had that.
Yes. The ball was in my court. I could have ended it, and I could have saved myself from a lot of different things.
But could you have?
No. So to cut it short, she just randomly, you know, broke it off.
So she's the one that broke it off, finally.
So now how I coped after I thought we were done, I was like, okay, I got to stay busy.
You and I talked about this briefly a few days ago, just kind of like prepping the show. And when you were describing this, I was like, that sounds like hell on earth, but continue.
Yeah. Well, and I had to keep busy, you know, cooking things, looking up recipes, I guess, you know, staying busy, going outside, just going on walks and just kind of like talking to family members, like what we've been all mentioning. I guess the key point is just keeping busy. Also, when I was in that relationship, I was just, I wasn't mentally healthy, but I wasn't also physically healthy too. And I think I had to get myself mentally healthy by like getting it all out and doing things for me, cooking. But also I went into the gym and I just had to sweat it out and keep busy and go on hikes. And in 1 month, I lost 15 pounds.
You had to go hiking.
I got into the best shape of my life after that. I guess my mind was somewhere else where I just didn't feel it when I was doing all this stuff.
Great way, honestly, to get out rage. I hiked all up in the Wichita Mountains.
More power to you. And I really like the idea of like these different coping mechanisms, things that I would not have thought of, like hiking and law school. Both valid options. Yeah.
Getting into new hobbies, like sometimes I guess we get so comfortable with what we're doing. We, you know, there's certain things I always say that I want to try that I haven't really done, you know, kayaking, like.
That's, okay, I'm sorry, I'm not meaning to interrupt you. It just popped in my head. That is actually one of the things I did after my first breakup.
You went kayaking?
Yes, by myself.
That's not good, Leah, you could have drowned. Aren't you like strapped into the boat?
Yeah, I was in a kayak, I was out in the Delta by myself. It was great fun, I loved it. Something very large came up next to me and swooshed and scared me.
Yeah.
It was great.
That thing wanted to eat you, just so we're clear.
That was an aquatic.
I think also by doing all those things, I guess it's more of you're finding your authentic self. And I think in relationships sometimes we kind of settle and we kind of throw things under the rug when it's actually a real issue. And I think sometimes, especially when we're young, we kind of change a little bit, you know.
The chameleon effect.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, it's okay. This ain't something I normally do, but I'll be okay with it when you realize this isn't what I want to do. And I think the whole thing is, you know, when you go through breakups, you have to be as most positive as you possibly can be. And I did seek therapy. And also, everybody, if you do go seek therapy, find a good one. Also, make sure you have good health insurance.
Good one.
Make sure they don't kill cats.
It doesn't talk about
killing
cats.
A good one. Now, as I'm older, I'm innocent. I have to be positive and be like, you know, I'm happy I went through that experience. That made me aware of the red flags that I can look out for, you know, in a relationship.
All right, so that's kind of good. Okay, so you learned the red flags and things. Like
the red flags, who I truly am. I mean, like I said, that was my first long relationship, so I didn't know what to expect into a relationship.
Last lessons on that one. So that's a pretty in-depth story.
I could say, yeah, don't do the back and forth thing. When you realize it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But I think we just do that to ourselves. I think we do that. I mean, when we're fresh into a relationship, we want to think somebody will change.
Sat through a movie and had ice cream.
Right, because you feel like he'll change his mind. Yeah.
Yeah, like somehow at the end of this, it's going to be fine.
Let's see what this Bourne movie does to alter reality.
Exactly.
We will see a love story in this action movie and realize, oh, wow, you know.
I was going to say, is the fourth movie like a love story? Like
the first one, actually kind of is. There's a sexy scene in it. I quite enjoy it.
Did you then, though?
You know which one I'm talking about. Yeah, with the whole, like hair Russian tie girl thing. Yeah, and the shirts. Like, I don't know, something about that scene was sexy.
Dustin turned bright pink, just so, like, okay. pick. Okay. Okay. All right, but yeah,
just
okay,
watch
so
the Firstborn movie. It's good. All right. It's, I like it.
So, last part, she calls me back up. This is the last time I ever saw her.
Right.
Well, technically, the last time I ever dealt with her, I was 25 now.
Okay. The best part is I said so far as a joke and then cavalierly looked over at Leah, realizing that Leah is your girlfriend, and we both had a look, and all of a sudden I'm like, wow, Leah's gonna cut a bitch. If like
kill you.
Leah is ride or die.
She has a grill.
She yes. does.
I had a grill.
She yeah. She'll get a new
I
grill.
No longer have
she
a grill.
She got a grown up job. She's an independent woman. Snap.
Yeah. Boom.
Okay.
I work for no one. I work for myself.
Nice.
So
make
bitch.
That paper. Other T-shirt slogans here. Okay. So overall lessons. Looking for the red flags. Growing as a person.
Finding your authentic self. I mean, mm-hmm. I guess I feel like we have to go through all this, honestly. And it's like, I want to tell people, you have to go through all this. I mean, you have to take your time. I mean, don't listen to what other people say. When it comes to relationships, you need to have a voice. I think with a women and men.
Okay, so, all right. Well, I guess it's my turn to be in the hot seat.
Start
Unless
the grill.
Start the grill, Leah.
So, Aubrey, why don't we hear your story first?
Okay.
Aubrey, how old were you during your first breakup?
Okay.
I phrased that wrong. How old were you when you experienced your first breakup?
Okay, I believe I was 15. 15 or 16. The reason why I think it was 15, because I was not driving. Okay? Now, this is, for listeners of the show, a continuation of what I will call the Skeezy Derek saga. Now... Dad, earmuffs. There's a story that I tell in our very first episode about when I was in high school, I, despite all the odds, did have a boyfriend, okay? And I say despite the odds because I was a weird kid, okay? I was a weirdo, if you can't tell by the everything about me.
Something's
like black crayons on the wall, like
no.
type circles.
I'm the kind of person that is terrified of silence, so I will talk. I will try to fill that silence. I've gotten better at it over the years, but at 15, I was a weird fucking kid, okay? And for some reason, I had a boyfriend, and his name, for the purposes of our show, is Skeezy Derek. And he was out of my league. He was in the trombone corps, okay? And they were the popular band kids, okay? He was also very good looking, and I could not believe that I had bagged him. It was pretty impressive. And that relationship lasted about 2 weeks.
So 15-year-old Aubrey is like all giddy and like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
No, 15-year-old Aubrey was like, holy shit, how do I keep this going? Like, it's like, does he know? Like, because the less information he has, the probably better this is going to work out. And I was right. So the point is, I will say that, again, he was cool, okay? And I was not. So I was very determined to just, like, don't be a spaz, don't be weird. And I was very much a spaz and very, very weird. You knew me 2 or 3 years after this. That would be mellowed out a little bit. Actually, a lot at that point.
Gotta be with
Skeezy.
For the people listening, how long have you known Aubrey? Oh.
How long have we known? Let's see.
Since
2006? Five.
Wow.
Oh, wow. But the relationship, as it were, it was a very difficult balancing act to try to be normal sauce for the 2 weeks, because I not only had to balance don't be a weirdo, but I also had to be like an interesting person, and that's a hard balance at 15. And so quickly realizing it is. Okay, so kind of a chameleon effect. He's much cooler than I am, so I'm gonna get into things that he likes. And here's just a litmus of how cool, quote-unquote cool, he was. I was like, okay, I need to know everything about Magic the Gathering.
Oh my god.
Because he was into Magic the Gathering. And I was like, yeah, let's... Because that's what the cool kids are into, if you're 15-year-old me. So, the relationship inevitably ends because reasons. Anyway, what I have come to realize, though, is in high school, at that moment, my whole objective was damage control, because in high school, and you guys all had your breakups, like, later.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, For those of you listening that happen to be younger, I'm going to tell you right now, your little flimsy high school relationships are not of any importance in the real world, and I know they seem really important to you at the moment, right?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, like you said, I mean, they're not that important, and okay. I had those, and, you know,
all right,
whatever.
But my point is, well, this was the first breakup, but the thing is, it seemed really important at the time, but the point is that it's not nearly as important. What I learned in the immediate aftermath was you do actually need to, if you're in high school, because high school, let's face it, Leah doesn't know this because she was homeschooled, but is a horrid war zone. You know, it's gonna mess you up a little bit on some level. Yeah. So at the time, I didn't realize I needed to have any kind of say in controlling the narrative. I just thought, oh no, he broke up with me, I'll just be sad for a while. And then that ended up into a prank that Leah knows about, in which he had some of his friends send me, you know those like Valentine grams that you send? You know, like a dollar, it's a lollipop. And he had his friends send me a bunch of them in his name, because he was at a different school, okay? And as it turned out to be a very bad prank, leading to me getting a present. And the present was a box of dog mints, and it was in front of most of the band.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a jerk.
Well, yeah, okay. Now, at the time...
Could have been ice cream.
He didn't get me ice cream. That could have been. I had public embarrassment and no ice cream. I did have a lot of those lollipops, but I did spitefully throw them in the trash in front of everybody. Yeah.
Is it like solid dunk?
Yeah, with the mints. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. But anyway, I guess in the immediate aftermath, I was like, okay, you do have to take control of the narrative in those situations. But upon further inspection, I've realized that you break up, especially if you're younger, it's nobody else's damn business. And it doesn't actually get to control who you are or who you're going to be. The big thing that I've learned over the years, because I have had worse breakups, is kind of touching on what you guys said about therapy and going through. Again, I don't want to go to the dark place, because you guys know I've had some pretty messed up relationships ending and whatnot. But that being said, I will say, big life lessons with any breakups is you can't really control how the other person's going to act or what they're going to say or how they're going to think. And that goes to both your significant other or partner, as well as just the world at large. Meaning, you need to just be you. And people are going to react how they're going to react. And it's not a negative if they react negatively, if you're being who you actually are. So my big takeaway was, don't care as much. And that's easier said than done, I guess. Okay, so the concept of keeping score and trying to control it to where you're the goodie or they're the baddie or whatever kind of puts you into like a tailspin, a negative headspace where you're just constantly caring about shit that just doesn't matter. And it goes back to one of my favorite quotes, which is, resentment is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die.
Yeah, it is, because it's not going to do you or them or anyone any good.
No.
It's just wasting your time. It's making you anxious. It's making you angry. It's not benefiting you in any way. And you're
being toxic.
Yeah.
You're accepting that poison into you. And
you're
just
making your own little bubble toxic.
And it doesn't affect
them.
And
they don't care.
They don't care. I would say that the biggest lessons that I've learned over the years is definitely just to let go. Again, easier said than done. But it is like the magic trick. Once you figure out how to do it, you're just like, okay, I am not angry at this person anymore. Now, this goes into coping mechanisms. My coping mechanism, what I've found, is actually crazy opposite from all three of you guys. Because you guys are like, be around people and be around friends and everything. That's definitely a great, great way to go. But I've come to realize that I prefer to be on my own. I like two things whenever I just want like to clear my own headspace. And that is driving, like going like to drive distances, and listening to music. Subsequently, that is how I wound up writing, which, shameless plug to Find Normal, first of every month, starring the incomparable Leah Johnson.
That's a supporting character. You're the star.
Yeah, I see it a different way. Okay, But...
And see, like, I was about a mix like that. I did a lot, yeah. You know, I needed to do anything. Like, I liked... And that's with me is I'm sociable, but I like to be on my own, too. I want to be by myself. I want to go on a drive, listen to my music, and, like, write things down like what you said. So that's why I'm kind of a weird bird, too, because I need that. You know, it's good to have that good people, but at the end of the day, it's kind of like what you said. Mm-hmm. It's like if you have... If you care, you know, it's like if you hold grudges or care, it's like you're having somebody live rent-free in your own brain.
Exactly.
But if you, and I think the way to cure that is finding your authentic self, doing writing, you know, doing things on your own, talking to people. Once you get to that point of not caring, you have the power.
You really do.
Powerful.
I will say, I've got some really amazing friends, some ride or die friends. Leah and Carrie in particular are the kind of people that if I break up with, you know, relationship ends, they're like, oh, what do we gotta do? We'll cut a bitch. That's, you know, that's...
I might have stayed friends with the individual that was the worst to you. So that way I could stalk him sufficiently.
I do have a couple of people.
So if there was any opportunity for me to cut a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Not actually cut a bitch, but like...
I could see you doing it.
Just... You know,
I mean, like, I can't
because
I want to be a material witness.
Because
but,
I wanted to.
But the thing is, that's a great supportive thing. That's a great supportive system to have. But kind of like what we were talking about, you do have to get in your own mind space. Now, recommendations for that, like I said, there are these, like, kind of, you know, chick anthem songs that are going to be like, sassy breakup. I've been thinking about this all day. And there are three, count them, three songs that I would recommend.
Roar by Katy Perry?
No, it is not Roar.
Evanescence, Avril Lavigne.
I got a buddy of mine who cannot stand Roar because he managed a strip club and that was like on all the freaking time.
That's really funny.
And now all I could think, every time that song comes on, I'm like, that's the stripper song. But no, okay. And what's interesting about all three of these, they are... not about the breakup itself, it's about immediate aftermath of the breakup. And the first one is I'm gonna say Shout Out to My Ex by Lil Mix. It's, what do you call it, a banger. You know, I couldn't remember, what are the kids calling it these days? Look at me now, I'm all the way up and I'll never be back down. You know, it's a really fun kind of anthem there. So that goes into like a little bit of the petty, just a little bit, you know, kind of rub it in.
You gotta
in
have
the
at
face.
Least one petty something.
A little bit.
Gotta have at least one.
The next one I would say is House of Memories by Panic at the Disco, about a relationship that has ended.
The House of Memories.
And when your fantasies become your legacy, promise me a place in the House of Memories.
And basically, it's, you know, it's no animosity, and I could say that I've had a. I guess ending a relationship like that where it's like, yeah, you know what, it wouldn't have worked out and I'm glad that you're where you're at and I'm glad where I'm at and just keep me, you know, in mind later down the road. And the last song that I recommend is Lil Dicky.
Oh, I like Lil Dicky.
Okay. Lil Dicky, but he does a song called Molly.
Heard that.
Best, you the best to me, girl, always bake me something. And when they ripped off, you replaced my buttons. But don't be pissed off if I hate your husband, cause even when I can't say love ya, I love ya.
Hits me in my heart. You know, it's like, you know what? Again, those are the relationships that I found to be, I guess, the healthiest and the best for me. The ones that's like, you know what? It didn't work out. Come to realize in those kind of relationships, you could be a chameleon, you could change, and that could work for two very stressful weeks in high school or 4 years in a relationship that you think is going to be endgame. But the point is, what will happen is you're not going to be happy. You're going to bring that person down or they're going to bring you down. But you cannot have that facade up forever. But what you can do is take the positive from a relationship, even though it has ended, and kind of just like, you know what? It sucks that it's not working out. We can accept that. We can grieve the loss of the relationship. But it doesn't mean that it all has to be a negative. It doesn't all have to be slice and dice and stealing cats and burning grills and all of that. Not that those aren't fun.
I burn a grill. I burned the clothes in the grill.
And I love you for it. So much.
And I ruined the grill.
I know.
Because he had poor taste in clothing. It was all
that's why? It that's went why?
In really nasty, oily smoke.
But yeah, to reiterate, I'd say that's the big stuff that I've learned with breakups. That was my big breakup story. I've touched a little bit on different breakups, like the guy that took me for a romantic walk to break up with me. Or, mm. you know, just, you know, I've seen a lot of things, but that was the first relationship. And it's interesting to think of my perspective from when that, you know, when I was 15 or 16 to now. But yeah, it's fun little things that you learn on the way. And it's the most frustrating thing that an adult can say to a kid. It's, you'll understand it better when you're older.
Yeah.
So I guess the final question is this. And it's got to be succinct, okay? No big stories. If you could give yourself relationship advice from the time of your first breakup, what would it be? And it can't be shit like don't get married.
Mine would have been actually similar to what you said earlier about seeing red flags. I did not recognize the red flags when I should have. Okay. Oh, I saw them.
Yeah.
My brain registered them. And the little, you know, that little voice in my head was going, really? But the other voice that was in love was going, no, it's fine, it's fine. Except that voice said, it's fine, a lot. And if I'd have just been listening to the voice of reason going, really, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't be happening that way. Your relationship, that is not what a good relationship should consist of, then...
So, red flags.
I would have noticed the red flags.
I would say the one piece of advice I would have given myself is date for longer.
Mm.
Like, take your time to get to know this person. Now, mine specifically because I was married. But, like, you need to date the person you're with for a good long while. Because... Mm-hmm. Like I tell everybody somewhat comedically, you need to have a fight with somebody, you need to spend 48 hours with somebody, and you need to see somebody before 6 a.m. and at an airport. If you do those four things, you will know that person.
Huh.
There you go.
I like the airport one. Right, that's a good one.
Dustin, advice to yourself.
Back then, dealing with that, I guess three parts. I mean, I would tell myself, like what you just said. I mean, we rushed into it. I feel like you know, a couple weeks didn't really do the trick. It might be a couple months or, you know, whenever that time was right. I feel like get to know the person until the time is right. And it just kind of rushed into it. Two, I guess, stop making excuses for her to other people. I guess that's what I kind of did. I made excuses. But the last one. Man, sack up. I should have...
I'm sorry, man, comma, sack up, or
no,
man, sack up?
Don't be a pussy.
Oh, okay.
Dustin, don't be a pussy. I guess...
You're giving mixed signals.
I know, no. It's kind of...
Which Dustin, genitals should
I be? No. I want to know!
Be, I guess, look, just stand your ground, but in a good, respectful way that is logical to everybody else, being like, I can understand why you did that.
Yeah. And I guess the advice that I would say to myself would be... Let it go. It's not that important.
Let it go.
Hey, why'd you gotta ruin it?
Don't give a fuck anymore.
Date the tuba guy.
I can. Should I tell the story of how that story ended? With the guy reaching out?
Yes.
Oh.
So, actually, sometime after the Skeezy Derek story was published, who should reach out to me via Facebook other than one Skeezy Derek? But what's interesting is I don't think he had heard the podcast. I don't know what exactly started that because he didn't make any reference to it. But what he did say was that it's been 20 years and he has lived a life. And one of the things that he most regrets was, quote, how he treated me.
Wow.
Mm.
To which I responded, whoa, dude, let's take a step back and realize if that's your biggest regret, that's a pretty sweet life. Congrats on you. Like, that's a cool life. Because in that moment, I realized I'm legit. Well, I guess beforehand, I realized I wasn't mad about it anymore. It's one of those things that's like, that's the revenge scenario. 20 years later, they're like, oh, dude, I f***ed up. It's like, yes, you did. But it was like, you know what? It's fine. I think I actually wrote, it's like, dude, you were kind of an ass. I was kind of a spaz. We're different people. It's fine. Moving on. And it felt amazing. But let it go, kids. It's not that important. Don't sweat the small stuff, and frankly, a lot of things are the small stuff. But yeah, overall, I think one thing that we can all decide is no matter what the relationship, no matter who it was, the four of us and all of our significant others handled breakups better than one, Henry VIII and Catherine Howard. Because we didn't murder our spouses!
We didn't.
We did not. Yay! No. No.
Yay! Golf claps!
I mean, if that's the benchmark.
That's the benchmark. That's where we're at. Yes.
We're doing all right.
But yeah, a couple of recommendations. Fun heart to heart. I think we've had a lot of fun here.
I think so.
Yeah. And hopefully I'll be able to get this out before, you know, Captain Howard Day. Or the next day, Valentine's Day. Enjoy your confusing love holiday, everybody.
I think we're good.
All right, so yeah, we have had a lot of fun here. I've enjoyed having you guys on the show. I don't know what we're going to be covering next time or when it's going to be published, because that's part of the fun of this. But yeah, I'm Aubrey.
And I'm Leah.
I'm Bennett.
I'm Dustin.
And this has been...
Recommended to me by a friend.
Oh, we nailed it.
Got it. Never bring me down.